You're listening to the MicroConf podcast. I'm your host, Rob Wallen. In this MicroConf Tactics episode, we hear audio from one of our most popular YouTube videos called Your Pricing is Wrong. Even Sam Altman made this mistake. In this video, I dig into how hard it is to get pricing right, and I talk about some tactics and some frameworks for thinking through how to optimize your pricing. Before we dive in, I want to let you know about MicroConf Remote. It's coming up in a couple of weeks, May 21st, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and it's all about early stage SaaS sales. We're going to have three presentations plus a founder by founder session, which is like our online version of the hallway track. And I'm going to be emceeing the entire event. You may even hear a bad joke or two told along the way. Our speakers include Steven Steers, Nick DeSabto, Anastasia Kudrow. And again, the focus of the event is early stage SaaS sales. All the talks will be recorded in case you get distracted on that day, say with a DDoS attack or anything else. Head to microconf.com/remote. We like to keep the ticket prices to these really low, such that even if you can't attend live, you still get value out of the talks. And if you can attend live, it's a great event where you're going to meet fellow MicroConf folks who are focused on early stage sales. Hope to see you there. And with that, let's dive into why your pricing is wrong and how even Sam Altman made this mistake. Even Sam Altman got it wrong. The CEO of OpenAI, valued at $80 billion, just admitted they're losing money on their $200 a month ChatGPT Pro plan. If one of the most sophisticated tech companies in the world can underprice their product, chances are you can too. And it's probably costing you more than you think. In the next 9 minutes, I'll show you how charging too little is the silent killer of great businesses and how you can fix it if you're not charging enough. And if you get your pricing right, you can actually have an unfair advantage over your competition. Hey, Rob Walling here. I've been talking for years about how pricing is the biggest lever in SaaS. And during several of our early microconfs, this is 13, 14 years ago, Patrick McKenzie, who you may know as Patio 11, got on stage, looked at a room of founders, and said two words that at one point became his calling card: charge more. We started talking about this back in 2011, and today, 14 years later, the advice is still valid, even at the highest levels of tech, as we see with OpenAI. In a minute, I'll get to why charge more is great advice, but first let's talk about a few of the reasons founders undercharge to begin with. You might title this section, The Psychology of Undercharging. It's easy to understand why founders fall into this trap. I've seen four core fears keep founders from charging what the product is worth. The first is that nobody will buy my product if I charge more. And in reality, usually we're undercharging, and that you can have an equivalent or a competitor that is often charging much more, but you still don't have the confidence to increase your prices. Fear number two is my product isn't good enough. And in fact, usually it is. Usually this is something in the back of your mind. It's something like imposter syndrome, where you say, I'm not good enough. When is everyone going to figure out that I don't actually know what I'm doing and I'm an imposter? I might almost call this product imposter syndrome, where you say, when is everyone going to figure out my product isn't good enough? When in reality, in almost all cases, it is. And across the 212 B2B SaaS investments that I've made, the vast majority of them at one point were underpriced. And the vast majority of them, when they raised prices, things went in the right direction. Things went up and to the right. Now, you can raise your prices too much, and I'll talk a little bit about that later. But for the most part, especially bootstrapped and mostly bootstrapped founders that I see, they're undercharging. The third fear is my competitors charge less. And realistically, if you are a commodity and someone can swap out your product for another one, then it is hard to charge more. If it's a one-for-one comparison, a gallon of gas versus another gallon of gas, or this orange versus this orange, and they are basically the same thing, then why should you have pricing power? Why should you be able to charge more? So the key with looking at competitors and saying, well, they charge less than I do, is to have a product that's differentiated. You either want features or positioning or a focus or a brand. You want some type of moat that keeps you from being a commodity. I actually talk a lot about this in the SaaS playbook, about how not to be viewed as exactly the same as other products on the market, because then it's just a race to the bottom. And the fourth fear is, if I raise my prices, I might wreck my business. And you know what? You might. but the odds are really low. I've seen hundreds, if not thousands at this point, of SaaS companies raise their prices. And there's been a handful of times that I've seen folks have to roll them back. But I believe it's only once that I've ever seen someone actually break their business by raising their prices. And in fact, it wasn't because they raised their prices. It was because they raised them, they got new information, several other competitors dropped their prices, and they didn't drop their prices quickly enough. They didn't follow suit. They didn't take the data that the market and their competitors and their customers were giving them, and they failed to react. So while raising their prices was, you could say, a cause of this, really the cause was them not reacting quickly enough. I want to take a minute to let you know about the MicroConf Growth Retreat, a new event we're launching in London from May 14th to the 16th of 2025. This isn't your average conference. We're keeping it intimate with just 40 to 60 SaaS founders joining us for deep networking and invaluable insights. We'll have focused morning work sessions where you'll gain clarity on your business challenges, followed by unforgettable afternoon excursions exploring the best of London. And then we'll end each night with a reception. Tickets are limited, so head over to microconf.com/retreat to secure your spot. We will sell this event out. If you want to go to the MicroConf Growth Retreat in London, head to microconf.com/retreat. Now let's talk about why you should charge more. Realistically, pricing is the biggest lever in SaaS. It's the one thing that if you get wrong, can create a terrible business. And if you get right, can cause you to have a business that's 2, 3, 4, 5 times more valuable and more successful than if you don't nail your pricing. The first order effect of raising prices is that you get more MRR or ARR, and it's that you start to grow faster. I have given a talk on pricing in the past, and I used a couple screenshots of tiny seed companies that started their batch year with us in May and then raised their prices in May or June due to our urging and frankly, our advice of, we think you're underpriced in this market. And these graphs show the MRR growth start to increase pretty significantly and the business being really a completely different business than if they hadn't raised their prices. There are also a couple second order effects. One of them is churn. So for more than a decade, I've been saying that lower paying customers churn faster. And there is an anonymous tiny seed company that segmented their churn. And segment A was paying them $29 a month. And segment B was paying them $99 a month and up. And if you look at the net revenue churn between the two groups, it's staggering. The net revenue churn of the low-paying customers was over 11%. The net revenue churn of the high-paying customers was net negative 4%. So think about trying to grow a company with 11% churn, which means your business is on fire, versus minus 4%. It's not even in the same ballpark. That single metric can be the difference between $250,000 a year business and a business doing $1 million or $1.25 million. It's incredible. Now I have a story about a tiny seed company called Gather that when they joined Tiny Seed were charging $39 a month for their cheapest plan. $39 and $79 were their two plans. And their business was not viable. They couldn't do sales calls at the scale they needed and grow the business. And so pretty quickly, we encouraged them to raise their prices and they were, you know, rightfully so, they were concerned that they would not get any more customers. So they went from $39 to $99 and $79 to $159, and there was no difference in conversion. And these days they've gone up even further. Their lowest plan is still $99, but their mid plan is $199. And of course they have a custom pricing plan, but these changes alone took them, I don't remember if it was 6 months or 8 months as they raised their pricing, and it did change the business. Churn went down. They lost some solo customers and some, I'll say, more price sensitive customers, but it really helped accelerate their growth. All right, so let's say you believe me and you want to raise your prices. How should you do it? First, I'm going to start with a couple quick tips. The first one is you can effectively raise your prices by decreasing the value or the thresholds on your value metric on a specific plan. So if right now you give 3,000 contacts or subscribers for $49, you can give 2,500 for $49. You just reduce the value metric on one or all of your plans. The second idea is you can just drop your lowest plan. So if you have $19, $49, and $99, you could just go to $49.99 and call us. It's an easy way to experiment with this and to get comfortable with the idea of maybe not having that cheapest plan. The third tip I'm going to give you is that split testing pricing is very, very difficult. I've seen approximately zero SaaS companies do this. There's been one or two. But realistically, most bootstrappers, all bootstrappers, are not going to have the volume to truly split test your pricing. So you are going to have to take a leap of faith and just watch your numbers carefully. So if I was going to raise prices, first I would decide if this is an experiment versus certainty. So if it's an experiment and I'm tentative, then I treat it like one. I make it easily reversible and I watch my numbers like a hawk. But if it's a certainty, I've actually made price increases into a marketable event where I email everyone in my trial funnel and people who are not customers and people who are customers, and I try to drive either annual conversions ahead of the pricing update. And I say, if you'll sign up before this certain date, we will be able to honor our current pricing, even though we're raising them in a couple weeks. Now, I want to separate raising prices for new customers versus grandfathering, which involves your existing customers. They're two separate things, and you don't have to do the same for both. So you could just change it for new customers and kind of sit back and watch it for a month, two, three. And then once you realize my pricing's dialed in, then you can decide if you want to go back to existing customers and raise it or not. So the concept of whether to raise it on existing customers is called grandfathering. If you grandfather existing customers in, then you don't raise the prices on them. And the reason you should consider it is if you raise prices, you will see some churn. You'll have a lot of support complaints and a support burden, and you could potentially damage your brand or your reputation. But realistically, in most cases, raising prices on all your customers is usually, not always, it's usually the right answer. You just need to make sure to communicate it really well. You want to give at least 2 months of notice, but not more than 6 months. And my rule for raising prices is if raising your prices on existing customers will not grow your MRR by at least 15%, it's probably not worth it. That's Rob's rule of 15. In addition, I never promise to grandfather for life, and you should not either, because in a year or 3 years or 5 years, you may want to raise prices. So never say that anything is for life. Finally, I want to talk about the messaging of raising your prices. There's an interesting structure to price increase messages that I went and backed out of several well-constructed price increase emails and blog posts. First thing you do is you set the stage. Then you say, we're changing our pricing. The third point is a high-level justification. And then there's two optional points. You can give more specifics about who it impacts and when. You can give more justification. And then finally, please reach out with questions.